Amen. Good morning. Welcome. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for those selections. That was a blessed time of worshiping our Savior. So just blessed this morning, just thinking and being reminded again. It's so important to remind ourselves of all that He has done for us. Just so thankful for His greatness, His kindness, and thankful that we have a God to worship and to praise who's worthy of all of our worship and praise. What a sad existence to have a God to serve who's, you know, you do it out of fear, or you do it because you're supposed to, but you don't really have, there's nothing to really admire or look up to or worship. And that is not the God we serve. We worship a God who is so incredibly worthy of the most praise we could ever give, and so much more than that. And such a blessing to be able to sing and to pour out our hearts, our love to Him as He's poured out His love to us. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank You for this beautiful morning. Lord, I thank You for each one of these dear friends, brothers and sisters that are here together this morning to lift up and to worship our Savior. Lord, I thank You for the songs that have been written to praise and to honor and to glorify our King, who is so worthy of all of our praise. Lord, I pray that our time together now around Your Word would be encouraging and challenging to our hearts. Lord, that it would draw us close to our Master, that we might walk with You carefully and intentionally, and that we might be truly disciples of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to touch on a few different places, a lot of places in the Psalms. But I was just thinking, as we're about to begin a new year here, and I've never been one to go in for a lot of, you know, New Year's resolutions or anything like that. I feel like a lot of times people's New Year's resolutions are things that they intend to stop doing that they should have already stopped doing a long time ago, or things that they intend to begin doing that they should have already been doing a long time ago. And many times people will think about and plan out what they're going to make their New Year's resolution, and then wait to actually implement their New Year's resolution until New Year's. And so they spend all this time thinking of what they should be doing, how they should be living their lives. But instead of actually living their lives that way, they go, well, come the 1st of January, I'm going to start living my life the way I should have been living it all along. And I think we create these ideas for ourselves many times that somehow we're gonna fix all of our problems. We're gonna figure out what's wrong. We're gonna take the bull by the horns this year, and we're really gonna go places. We're really gonna do things. And I don't usually see a whole lot coming from that. As everyone knows, New Year's resolutions are usually long forgotten before February comes around. So little good does it do you. But I do enjoy, and I do think it's valuable as we are getting ready to begin a new year, to think not so much, oh, what are the things that I should be doing that I'm not doing, or what are the things that I shouldn't be doing that I am doing that I'm going to stop, but rather there is a time and a place to look prayerfully and consider the coming year and present before the Lord your heart and say, hey, what do you have for me for this year? Where do you want to take me? What do I need to learn? What things of yourself do you want to show me? What do you want to instruct me? Where do you see me in another year, at the end of this coming year? And to make plans is not a bad thing, as long as, like John says, as those plans are dependent on saying, hey, you know, if the Lord wills, I'm not setting everything in concrete, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But I got thinking a lot about this this week, and I want to just start out and just jump in Psalm chapter 18, Psalm 18, because many times if we're not setting a list of things that I want to stop doing, or a list of things that I want to start doing that I should have already been doing or should have already stopped doing, the other thing that we tend to do in relation to this is we like to build in our minds a picture of where we want to be, which isn't all bad, but let's take a look at this in Psalm chapter 18. We're going to begin with verse 28. The psalmist says, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." Now, this is a beautiful passage, and I love the imagery that the psalmist uses here of how God has delivered him. But if you stop and think about it from another angle, you go, okay, the reason I had to run through a troop and leap over a wall is because I was surrounded by my enemies, right? That's not a place I want to be. Looking at the coming year, I'm not looking at it going, you know what would be just the perfect dream place to find myself halfway through the year is surrounded by my enemies. Yeah, that sounds fun. But we look here and we see the psalmist not in the place he wants to be. And if we're honest with ourselves about life, many times we find ourselves not in the place we want to be. Life doesn't usually go as I plan it, right? So I might look to this coming year and go, man, I'd like to, you know, get my land cleaned up and get a house built on there this year. That's where I want to be. But if I look at if I think rationally about all the things that I'm probably going to encounter this year, I might not end up being where I want to be, but I can be with who I should be with. You see, the psalmist here, he didn't desire or plan or want to be surrounded by enemies inside of a walled city where he's got no recourse. But because of who he was with, it didn't matter, right? By my God, I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall. For God, his way is perfect. It's not necessarily going to go, and it usually won't go the way I expect it to, right? I'm not going to end up seeing the year progress and life happen the way I'd like to see it happen. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to go according to my plan, right? Have you all seen the little picture? My goal, my destination, where I am right now, and my dream, my plan is, you know, a straight line, point A to point B. God's plan is through valleys and over mountains and through these deep waters where I learn to trust, where I learn to lean, and just taking into account a whole lot more reality of the fallen world that we live in than what I want to take into reality, right? Because I don't want to build my plans based on what could happen. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of things that could happen in this world that we live in. Things usually don't go according to plan. The psalmist here is exalting in the Lord, not that he didn't end up in trouble, because troubles will come. I will end up in trouble. He's exalting in the Lord that in those troubles, you were with me. And I look as we get ready to begin 2026, and it's so, so, so much more important for me to be with who I need to be with than to be where I want to be in this coming year. This coming year, probably like most other years that have passed, won't work out exactly how I dream it and hope it and wish it would, right? That's reality. But I can now determine and set in place that before this year begins, I'm going to spend this year walking close to my Savior. I'm going to spend this year getting closer to Him. I don't know what's coming my way, but by God's grace, I intend to face it with Him. I intend to face it not on my own, not just trying to figure it out, not just flying by the seat of my pants, not just trying to hang on to some pie-in-the-sky dream that I had at the beginning of the year that I'm like, no, I'm going to accomplish what I intended to accomplish this year. I'm going to just, you know, grit my teeth, grab myself by the bootstraps, and just keep slogging through. So much more important than that, determination has a place, right? But so much more important than that is, who am I with? Because the trials will come. The temptations will come. The difficulties will come. We looked this morning in Luke chapter 4 in Bible study at the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. Those temptations came. There was not, it wouldn't have done any good for Jesus to just have said, yeah, no, I'm not feeling in the mood for that today, right? Those temptations were coming His way. How is He going to respond to those? The temptations, the hardships that are coming this way, this coming year, I don't know what they are yet for me and for you. But I know that there's going to be difficulties. I know there's going to be hardships. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We will see difficult times. I don't know what they're going to be. But I know who I can trust to lead me through them. I know who already has seen tomorrow. I know who already has more than sufficient grace to meet, to face, and to overcome everything I'm going to face this year. I don't. I don't know what's coming my way. I can't possibly prepare for something that I can't see and I can't guess. So many times, if we look negatively at the future, it's not near as bad as we thought. If we look positively at the future, it's not near as good as we thought, right? Or if we just look to the future with we use our imagination, it's not going to be the way we pictured it being, whether better or worse. It's just going to be different. But He knows, as Job says, He knows the path I take. He's already seen what's coming my way. He already has grace abundant, grace sufficient. He already has a vast supply stored up, waiting for every need that I'm going to face this coming year. Now, I don't wish myself troubles and hardships, but I'm pretty sure they're going to come my way this coming year. I'm thankful to know, and I'm looking towards the future, trusting and leaning on Him, knowing He knows and He is sufficient, more than sufficient. He is more than a conqueror. Through Him, I can be more than a conqueror. I'm not looking towards the future with stars in my eyes. Oh no, nothing's going to get me down. Right? What good is that going to do me? I'm just lying to myself. That's never helped anybody prepare for the future. But it also is not beneficial or helpful to look with doom and gloom and dread of how it's going to be. Oh, this year is going to be rough. I don't know if I can take it. Well, no, you can't. I'll tell you beforehand, you absolutely will not face this year and succeed on your own. But I know who holds the keys. I know who has an infinite, boundless supply of everything that is needed for life and godliness. It's in Him. I want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 43. Another beautiful passage. I read through all these beautiful passages in Scripture and one thing that I pull out in common, we'll see here again in Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. He says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine." when, not if, but when thou walkest, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God doesn't even say if. God doesn't say if you have water that you have to pass through this coming year or the rest of your life. He doesn't say if you end up having to walk through some flames, some difficulties, some trials. He says when. But the expectation here, the beauty of this promise is, yes, it's coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. I can't possibly prepare myself for what's coming my way because I don't know. But what does he say? I will be with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That's all we need to know. What more do I need to know? Oh, Lord, I pray that there's no waters in my path ahead of me this year. Oh, I just plan that I'm not going to take a path that goes over a river. That's not going to help. That's not going to work. You know what is going to help and what is going to work? What will cause me to be victorious and triumphant this year? When I pass through the waters, Him with me. Him with me. Knowing that, leaning on that, walking in and living in the reality of that. I will be with you. You will have these trials and hardships come your way. That's to be expected. You can dream and plan and hope and wish all you want. Blow as many dandelion fluff as you want. Throw as many pennies and quarters and dimes in a wishing well as you want. Trials are going to come your way. When they do, you better know that He's with you and learn to lean on that. Nothing else will get me through. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What does he say in the first verse? Fear not. Well, I'm not going to fear because I'm positive, you know, positive thinking. Oh, this year is going to be great. No, when the hard times come, the positive, actual substance that will get you through it is knowing He will be with me. I'm not going to avoid the trials. I can't. People, I've seen and you've seen, no doubt, people spend their whole lives trying to avoid difficulty. They spend their whole lives, they spend millions of dollars, they spend all their energy trying to avoid hardship, trying to avoid difficulty. And guess what? It finds them anyway. But God says to His children, to us, hey, when it comes your way, and it will come your way, I will be with you. What does Jesus promise? I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. I think in relation to this, I think of Peter walking on the sea. And he starts walking out there. The storm, he looks around. When the waves come and the wind and the storm, what am I going to do? You forgot who you're with, Peter. You forgot who you're with. You thought you were walking on the water because you're just big and floaty feet. No, you're walking on the water because of who you're with. But you forgot that for a moment. You looked around and you said, oh no, there's trials coming my way. There's a storm that's bigger than me. It was bigger than you when you stepped out of the boat too. But you forgot who you're with. And guess what? The waters began to overwhelm him. He began to sink. It wasn't because the water suddenly got deeper. The water was the same height as it had been. It wasn't because the storm suddenly got worse. He forgot who he was with. And what was the very simple solution when he cries out in fear? What's the simple solution? Christ with me. He says, Lord, help me, I'm sinking, I'm drowning, I'm perishing. Jesus didn't have to fight back waves and fight back the storm. Jesus just showed up. And him being there, Peter rose to the surface again. He was able to stand again because of who he was with. As we look into this coming year, I don't care where my path takes me this year. I care who I'm with, who I spend it with, who I walk it with. My path's not expected to be easy. My path's not expected to be by beds of roses on perfectly manicured lawns. My life is expected to be difficult, but I expect and plan by God's grace to walk those difficult times with him. So what's my New Year's resolution? My New Year's resolution isn't where I want to go or what I want to accomplish. My New Year's resolution is who I want to spend it with. That makes all the difference. All the difference in the world. Who, not where. Where am I going this year? Who cares as long as I'm with him? What am I going to have to face? I don't know. But I'm going to face it with him. It's going to be okay. Nothing slips past my master. Nothing will surprise him. He does not sleep nor slumber. Nothing slips past him. And oh no, I didn't expect this. He did. It didn't catch him by surprise. It didn't catch him napping. And I can instantly turn and say, Lord, help me. And he's right there. And simply his presence. You notice he doesn't say, when you walk past through the waters, I'll make sure you don't get wet. His promise is, I'll be with you. That's enough. His promise isn't that you won't pass through the waters. His promise is, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. When you don't know what's coming your way, you know who knows. You know who's with you. I can't change my circumstances, but I can experience them differently by who I walk with. When I walk through them with God, they're the same circumstances, but they're different because I'm with him. When I'm walking through the storm by myself, it will drown me. It will overwhelm me. I will see those waves and they're bigger than me. I will see the storm. I will see the wind. I will see the lightning and hear the thunder, and it's deafening. And it will overwhelm me. I can't walk through fire. But all of a sudden, those same circumstances are different when I'm with him. The Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, you can't get tossed into a fiery furnace and survive it. That's been heated 7 times hotter than it's normally heated. The guys that threw them in burned up. They didn't. You don't survive that. Humans don't survive that. That circumstance didn't change. Who was with them changed. Who was with them made all the difference. They came out of that fire. There wasn't even the smell of smoke on them. That wasn't because they were some superhero who was fireproof. That wasn't because the fire was fake, just LEDs. That was because the Son of God was with them. That makes all the difference. The fire was still just as hot as it was for the guys that tossed them in. but it didn't affect them because of who they were with. The storm was just as bad for Peter, but it didn't affect him because of who he was with. When he remembered who he was with, right? All of the things that I'm going to face this coming year, that you're going to face this coming year, they're going to be difficult. They're going to be potentially gut-wrenching. I don't know what's coming my way. But I will be overwhelmed at the first bump in the road if I'm depending on me. But those same circumstances can be turned into a psalm of praise if I walk through them with Him. We read this psalm, I ran through a troop and I jumped over a wall. That sounds glorious. That sounds wonderful. That's a testimony of miraculous deliverance. But that's because of by my God. That's because of who He was with. That same circumstance without God, guess what? They toss you in prison for 50 years, or they behead you, or they string you up, or whatever. That same circumstance is deadly and will be the ultimate defeat. But guess what? By my God, what was absolute, heart-wrenching troubles coming my way can be turned into songs of deliverance, songs of testimony of who my God is, what He's done in me and for me and through me this year. It can be turned into a song of praise that is passed down for how many thousand years now since the psalmist wrote this psalm, and how many believers have read and been encouraged and blessed and invigorated reading these promises and these words and this testimony of what God did for the psalmist. But that situation could have been absolutely devastating. And it would have been, but for Him. I don't want to end up in a walled city of my enemies, surrounded by a whole garrison of enemies. But if or when I do, I know who's with me, and that makes all the difference. And I hope and pray that I remember that at that moment, right? Many times we fail in our Christian life. We find ourselves overwhelmed because we forgot. Because we forgot. Not because the power's not there, not because the grace isn't there, right? What does Hebrews tell us? Come boldly to the throne of grace and ask to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Many times we forget we have that option, right? Many times we're standing there like a soldier going, oh, pull up my fists, ready to fight. And the captain's saying, hey, buddy, you got an AR-15 strapped on your back. What's wrong with you? Why are you facing off with the enemy like, oh, I'm going to go down swinging. I'm going to lose, but I'm going to go down swinging. You've got a fully automated weapon on your back and an unlimited supply of ammunition. Why are you facing off with your fists? Why are you checking to see if you packed your pocket knife this morning? But that's how we face life so many times. We face life. We come up to a situation and we... oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm looking at the where, I'm looking at the what, instead of remembering the who. He has promised. That's all I need to know. Psalm 23, verse 4, very well-known psalm, the Psalm of the Shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? It's the valley of the shadow of death. For thou art with me. That's all I need to know. I can't avoid the valley of the shadow of death sometimes. And the psalmist here isn't looking for a shortcut around it, because there isn't one. But when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, because thou art with me. We see in John chapter 6, after Jesus has had a long dispute with the Jews, that it says he said a lot of hard sayings. He said a lot of things they didn't understand. They weren't willing to go all the way with him. They weren't willing to follow him and trust him. And it says in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And I love that Peter didn't say, where would we go? He said, to whom would we go? Lord, we didn't come here because this was a good place. We came here because of you. To who would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that you are the Christ, Son of the living God. To who else would I go? I would rather go with him through the worst things that could come my way than to avoid all troubles and have all of my dreams come true and not be with him. What an empty, lonely, miserable life when you live it not connected to and fellowshipping with the one who you were created to fellowship with. You and I were not created to live and to exist outside of a relationship with God. That's what we were created for. We were created for a relationship. We were created for communion with the eternal God Almighty. So as we look into this coming year, as we look into the coming days of our lives, ask yourself, remind yourself, set it now in your heart and your mind. I don't know, I can't predict, I can't control where I go, but I can set myself now on who I will spend it with. And that's enough. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your promises that are so abundant and so precious. Lord, those promises hinge on you. They hinge on a relationship with you. They hinge on a knowing of you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us this year, this coming year, that throughout our lives, Lord, that we might live our lives not so concerned on where am I going and what am I going to do, but who am I going to be with? Who am I resting my life, my hopes, my dream, my eternity on? Lord, may we learn to remember, may we learn to lean on the who of Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Almighty King of the universe. In Jesus' name, amen.